100 word stories.
Well, hey, 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 good morning to you people. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 word stories weekly challenge at one a day until the day I die.com. The weekly challenge is where I post the topic and you come up with the stories, the 100 word stories, the many wonderful and amazing 100 word stories. You're the ones who put the amazing into it. You're the ones who put the wonderful into it. Then you stick it in the microwave and heat it all up, unless you've got one of those newfangled Williams-Sonoma's wonderful and amazing things. I mean, good. Use it. That's what it's for. It's not just there to be on the counter and look all shiny. Ah, so we got the topic of kid. We got stories from Tom, John Musico, Lizzie Goodcough, Jeffrey Fisher, Richard, Charlie, Serendipity, Muncie, or are there only three Muncies? I'm not sure. Zach Mann, Anima has returned. Welcome back from the Great White North. Or is it even further north than that? Then Norval Joe and Tura. Oh, and Planet Z. I really hope you enjoy this one. I would dedicate this to Rowdy Roddy Piper, but look, that's a sore subject with me. Look, I know that the last tweet that he did was pimping some podcasts that he appeared on, and that's going to be the greatest boost for that podcast they will ever imagine. They're going to go, their server's just going to keep going down from the traffic, I wonder. Probably not. People will be like, oh no, Roddy Roddy, why are you wasting time on that instead of something that we can actually, you know, enjoy? What's a podcast? So, don't be jealous of them. I mean, you know, this is the person who, they have to live with the burden that their podcast killed a wrestling legend. I mean, just look at Mark Maron and what he did when Robin Williams killed himself. He posted up a for-pay episode for free, you know, to let people enjoy it. You know, he had been pimping that as part of, hey, you know, come on, come get the plus subscription so that, you know, you can hear the good ones like the Robin Williams. It's like, no, now he's just dropped his pants and said, okay, go ahead, kick. So that's his revenue model there. There's no revenue model here. I mean, the server's for free, the equipment's for free. Well, okay, I paid for the microphone, but I was going to pay for one anyway. I have a headset. I was going to do the podcast with it anyway. So what's the, it's like, I'm not going to, oh, I need your money to keep going. We need it for service pay. Yeah, I know. The server goes down every now and then. Just wait. It'll sync back up. iTunes isn't totally stupid. Or if you got one of them Android apps or something. If you do the podcast stuff on your actual iPhone, I mean, with iTunes, oh, that's just a nightmare. Unless you've figured out the magic. Or you just blow it off and listen to iHeartRadio or whatever. I don't listen to as many podcasts as I used to. I mean, I've got a job that deals a lot with words, and I actually have to do work, so I don't really have time to tune out for 8 hours like I used to. And when I get home, I'm watching Netflix on the treadmill, and then baseball's on. And then, you know, they so, although Sunday mornings, Saturday mornings, sometimes, you know, if it's kind of a day, you know, one or two really long ones. I mean, if Radiolab's got one. Yeah, I know. I'm an independent podcaster, and yet I listen to the big kids. It's bad of me. I know. I don't even listen to Drabblecast anymore. You know? It just, I save them all up. I used to like the, what's that DePalco guy? From the Slate. The Gist. Oh, that one was so fun. I've got 300 episodes of that backlogged. It was half an hour. I used to listen to two of those while I was on the treadmill. You know what? I needed my eyes engaged. Because, you know, I'd listen, I'd close my eyes, I'd lose my balance, and I'd fall off the fucking treadmill. Or I'd listen to Gilbert Gottfried. I mean, that's the perfect example of, okay, independent podcasting. Well, not really. You know, here's someone who's A-list. That just, you know, oh, let's blunder in and ruin it for the little kids. But isn't that the point of it? Once you get established, all the little kids will now have reason. Oh, I just hit the microphone. I think that's my tune to just say, rest in peace, Rowdy Roddy Piper. You were our favorite villain. You made it okay for men to wear skirts. I mean, just look at Caitlyn Jenner. So, okay, I'm sure I'm going to get people telling me that I'm evil for that, but, whatever. It's a joke, which means it's even worse, right? Okay, I'm sure we're now in an era of where Seinfeld says that you can't make jokes about things. Even if it's lighthearted, there is no such thing as a light heart anymore. Everyone's heart is heavy and burdened. And we have lost. You know, your childhood is not dying one celebrity at a time. Your childhood died when you turned 18. Or you know, when you became an adult or could be tried as one. So, don't go telling me your childhood is dying. It's already died. It's just that all the things that you cling to be in denial that your childhood ever ended. You're not an eternal childhood. It just feels like it. I'm just going to change the channel and let Tom take over from here. So thank you all for joining in. I'll see y'all on the flip side.
Hello, night people. Tom here. My story this evening is called Just Doing Business. The kid had no time for the simpler courtesies of gangster etiquette. He did have a wicked sense of humor. He always asked if the mark had any last words, perhaps a short prayer, or maybe they had a reasonable counteroffer. When the mark got the first word out of his mouth, he'd pop him in the eye. After word got out, no one was willing to give the kid the satisfaction of one last laugh on them. This is when the kid started doing hour-long eulogies. Most guys would yell, "Fuck you," at some point, then the pop. And that's it for this week. Good night, America. Wherever you are.
Playing with the Kids by John Musico. In ancient Greece, for fun, boys would grasp the neck of a goat, occluding their carotids and making the goat pass out. Sort of a dark choice for fun. Carotid is derived from the Greek word for drowsiness, and stems from this mischievous practice. Death by strangulation is inaccurately depicted by Hollywood. Suffocation takes minutes, but ceasing blood flow to the brain takes a mere 10 seconds. The original Star Trek series was more medically accurate. Spock's Vulcan death grip, where a single carotid was compressed, relates to a nerve reflex in the neck, which pauses the heart in seconds.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. Soundstage 2 was a kid-free zone. The director hated children. When he realized his main actress was pregnant, he started paying alimony, but fired her. Years later, a kid asked to talk to him. He refused. The director was then forced to work on a show for children, go figure. Yes, the kid was 14, but he was the owner of the studio. One day, the director went crazy. He abhorred kids. And he would have plenty of time to dwell on that, right after the trial ended. The studio had become a kid-free zone again, that's for sure. And this is my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com. And I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher. Here for week 484 on the topic of, what is the topic? Kid. I've got two stories, and my first one is called On the Job Learning. "Hey Roger, what are you doing for Bring Your Kid to Work Day?" Harvey asked. "Hadn't thought about it." "Well, you have a kid, don't you? Bring the little guy in. Show him what a working stiff does for a living." "I'm not sure anyone will call us working stiffs, but, I don't know. My kid isn't all that well-behaved." "All the more reason. He can trash the office and make me think I'm back at the frat." "Well, okay. but I gotta check Metro regulations first. I can only bring him in if they allow goats on the subway. And my second story is called The Joker. My colleague Steve was a joker who never owned up to his cruelty. "Hey, big guy," he'd say, "I see your folks killed off the fatted calf for you." Pause. "But you didn't have to eat it all by yourself." "Just kidding." Or, "I slept with your mom last night. She told me I was so much better than your dad." "Kidding." I complained and asked him to stop, but he fell back on the cliché about sticks and stones. Words couldn't hurt, eh? The next time Steve went on vacation, he mentioned he was flying to Cancun. I called the TSA anonymously and said that Steve had baggies of coke in his rectum. Totally untrue, but it took the TSA guys hours to reach that conclusion. My words must have hurt for a month. Well, that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning, this is Richard, and this week I have one story for you. It's a bit of an experiment, and I'm not sure how well it's gone. Anyway, here we go. It's called Script for a Departure. Or alternatively, it's not plagiarism, it's art. Here's looking at you, kid. I'll be back. You dirty rat. Are you talking to me? What if there is no tomorrow? We should seize the day. Don't you want to take a leap of faith, or become an old man filled with regret, waiting to die alone? Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. I want to be alone. Tears. In rain. Don't cry, shop girl. Don't cry. I know now why you cry, but it's something I can never do. Goodbye. In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Well, nobody's perfect. Right, that's it. I'm going to head off before somebody decides that they're going to sue me. So until next week, goodbye.
Good Sunday. This is Charlie E. I have three tales today. The kid was the consummate simpleton attributed to a flaw in his genes, or his mother's drinking and drug use while she carried him. He was pleasant and behaved, but very gullible and trusting. The perfect playmate, as his playmates succeeded in convincing him to take the blame for all the trouble and mischief that the gang managed to conceive and generate. As he grew older, he entered politics at the local level and did very well until the scandal put him in a federal prison for 20 years. Turns out, the kid took the rap, intoxicated by all the attention. Second, his dad told him to treat his girlfriends with kid gloves. Donald bought some fine, kid leather gloves and wore them his first day of grammar school. The school was private, and especially sensitive to special needs students, so no one ever mentioned his gloves, believing they concealed some skin condition or disfigurement. Young Donald T was very popular with the girls. They loved it when he stroked their neck or legs with his gloved hands. His pals thought it was creepy, but they were jealous of the admiration he got from the girls, and his wealthy and influential family. Third, he kidded around with mates and teachers. He believed that his humor was a bit twisted, and anyone that gave his pranks time to sink in would realize that he was being very clever and ironic. Humor gone unappreciated or acknowledged is sad, and it eventually gnaws away at the psyche of the jokester or punster, as it was in Leslie's case. Maybe his jokes and pranks were not funny at all. Maybe he was under the illusion that he was clever and funny. Maybe his friends played along with him because he was prickish and they feared or pitied him.
This is Serendipity. And here's my story for this week. Soft and warm. They really are the best ever. For as long as I can remember, I've wanted to own a pair of proper kid gloves. But they've always been too expensive. Which is why, I decided to make my own. Although I never expected to end up running my own business off the back of them. I've started diversifying too. Now I'm manufacturing socks and scarves. And they're selling well. Business is booming, but I worry my raw materials won't keep pace with demand. So, I'm looking for a new school and a fresh supply of kids.
Greetings, Moondogs. Munzee here with an amazing new monthly nickname and, coincidentally, a story also called Nicknames by Christopher Monroe. I can't help wondering about Old Western gunfighter naming conventions sometimes. I mean, for example, surely a gunfighter nickname involving kid in any form must be something said gunfighter would inevitably grow out of, yes? As he went from cowboy to cowman, the Cincinnati kid would surely become the Cincinnati adult, then the Cincinnati senior, who can safely be disregarded because he's not as fast as he used to be. Y'all's old and busted is what I'm getting at, Cincinnati kid. Y'all's old and busted, and you ain't got shit on me. And yes, those are fighting words. Bring it. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. And with that, Moondogs, I must depart. For I have called out the Cincinnati kid, and now must fight him to the death, lest people think I'm Yeller.
This is Zach Mann. Thanks for the ride, partner. Before you ask about the eye patch, which I wish was in celebration of Talk Like a Pirate Day, the sad truth is, I got it in a scrap with a certain Billy the Kid. Billy had become addicted to old-school Lucky Strikes. The day I ran out and gave him a Marlboro Red, Billy spit the filter right into my eye. I'm going to the doctor to see if I can take off the patch, then to look for a job without goats, or at least a place that doesn't use cigarettes as dewormer.
Hey there, Anima here. I hope you have missed me as I have missed you. Here is this week's submission, titled Second Skin. These gloves are nice, but won't work for me. I have this terrible condition. I'm hypoallergenic to almost everything. Even lotion residue on people makes me break out in hives. It's truly awful. Well, well, you should have mentioned this sooner. Try these here on for size. They're expensive, and I only have a few pairs left. They're vintage. My Uncle Gacy made them in the 70s. Wow, they're great. Like a second skin. What did you say these were made of? Oh, genuine kid. A pity. Uncle never taught me the secrets to making his signature gloves.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge, number 483, with a prompt of kid. Here's my story. Several people circled around Buford, an agent aphasia, who held the open container. The crazy-haired woman rearranged her tinfoil hat and said, "Give me the ghost reservoir." "Ghost reservoir?" Buford asked. "It's a dark matter containment cylinder." "Bring in Nochi," the old woman called. "No one here is hungry. "You old bat," aphasia growled. A boy, wearing a purple robe with silver-embroidered stars, walked into the room, his arms folded across his chest.
"Kid Nochi is our most powerful medium," the old woman sneered.
The boy raised his hand for silence and said,
"I feel a strong presence."
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Two Robbers I Know here with a story on the subject, Kid. Good old Mr. Johnson, always the joker. He'd stand on someone's foot and yell at them to get off his foot. Or he'd pour ketchup down someone's back. Then he'd say, "Just kidding!" His grin would get tighter, and his eyes would go hard, and people would back off. Eventually, it came out he was keeping three women prisoner in his basement and living on their benefit payments. In court, all he said was, "I was just kidding. Can't they take a joke?" So, don't say to me, "Can't you take a joke?" Because no, I don't think I can.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
They were the perfect couple. Well, sort of. She wanted kids. He didn't. At that point, they were going to be the imperfect couple, or the imperfect family. A counselor suggested a cybernetic kid. He didn't want kids of any kind. She didn't want a pet, whether animal or robotic. She wanted a child. So they broke up and found others to marry. She had a kid. He and his new wife didn't. The counselor didn't get the commission on the robot child lease. Eventually, the program was scrapped and replaced with kid gladiators. They get awesome ratings on television.
Hey there! There you have it! A whole bunch of stories on the topic of kid. Did you enjoy this one? Let the writers and readers and performers and recorders know in the comments of the show at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Look, my little rant on Rowdy Roddy Piper has a follow-up there. You can have all the hits you want, all the subscriptions you want, all the statistics you want, all the ad revenue you want, but it doesn't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing. No, it doesn't mean a thing if you ain't got that engagement. It doesn't mean a thing if you don't have that interaction. And I know this is just me yelling at you, bitching at you, cajoling you, exhorting you to let these people know. You don't have to tell me that I did well. I know I did well. I don't need your validation. These other people, engage with them. Tell them, "Hey, that was a great story. It inspired me to write my own. Or I'm going to come join too. Zach, man, he's the man." Go tell yourself that. Turn that into a ringtone. You know, say, "Tura, tura, tura." Get amped, get hyped. Engage these people. Tell Jeffrey, "You know, I liked your second story more than your first, but that third one rocked the house." Oh, he tends to do too. Or Richard, "You know, I know, Richard, you're not feeling well. It's great when you do and come up with more, because I love it when you have more." Let all these people know. Or Tom, Lizzie, we appreciate. John Musico, we appreciate the fact that you are still being in this. Even though you're out on vacation, you made the effort to do 2, 3, 4, 5 stories, rack them up and send them in so that they'd still be a part of it. It's great that you look at the schedule and then anticipate. Let these people know in the comments or go to the links. And if they have a site up there, let them know directly if you don't feel like embarrassing yourself. These people are embarrassing themselves and putting it all out on the line and, you know, letting themselves be judged by you. And your silence is judgment. Tell them, you know, you're not just a fucking stat of click. Okay, listen, click. Okay, listened for, 27 minutes on Stitcher. That doesn't matter. That's not enough. I know. It's good to listen. It's good to be inspired. But that's not enough. Take a minute. Take 1 minute. It takes 1 minute to go to that site, type something in, and then be done. Even if it's a, hey, it was a great one this week. Keep on going, guys. Just take a minute. That's all it takes. If you need to be paid for your time, take a minute to write me, and I'll PayPal you a fucking dollar. All right? If that's what it takes. And then I'll rip you six ways to sideways for being such a cheap shit with your time. Seriously, let these people know. I don't give a shit what you think. I just do my stories one a day. I'm just going to fucking die one day and that'll be it. That'll be my way of saying, okay, that's it for me. But for these people, they don't have to do this. And if they feel compelled to do this, why are they doing this? Why don't they do Drabblecast or something that pays? Let them know. And I know you're not supposed to attack your audience or cajole them or belittle them. Fuck that shit. I'm coming after you people. I mean, you take the time to listen to this stuff. Just one more minute? Really? Is that all it takes? I mean, thank you for listening and being a part of this. But be a part of them. Let them know. Let them feel good. And I know they feel good for having been a part of it ever. Make them feel better. Make them feel great. Maybe that's why hundreds of people have stopped doing this. Because you failed them. Wow, I feel like all those assholes on PBS that are like, if you don't give $5 right now, you're going to kill Big Bird. Well, Big Bird is Carol Spinney. Big Bird's never going to fucking die. When Carol Spinney kicks and croaks, there's going to be some other asshole they stick in that suit. Same with Snuffleupagus. They'll take two jerks off the street and go, hey, just stand here. We've already got enough voices digitized. Jim Henson taught us how to do this back in 1960, that fucking hippie. So, really, folks, let them know. I went through all of this. I totally improvised all this. I don't do this from a script. Okay? Why bother? Okay, I do the other stuff from a script. I mean, the hey, we got another weekly challenge coming up. I mean, it's written down there. If you hate the sound of your voice or can't record for some reason or another, well, that's your problem. That's in the script. This stuff, the beginning and the end, I'm just rambling like a jackass. So, Rowdy Piper, you inspired me to ramble like a jackass. But I'm thanking you too late because you're fucking dead. And you know what? That's my loss. Oh, wait, I'm getting feedback telling me to shut the hell up. So thank you all for listening. That isn't enough. And we will see you next week. And as always, keep it brief.